Barnaby is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bricago, y'all.
Yo, what the deal be, everybody in Bricago? This is the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. We are live here on X, YouTube, and Twitch.tv/Spawn on Me, bringing you the greatest and latest news within the gaming industry. And I am here to talk to you about all of the goodness that is coming through for this week. And there is not a lot in terms of goodness happening within the space this week. It has been pretty busy. Thank you to everyone who has been watching and giving us love on all of the social channels all around the world. Massive love to all the folks who have been digging it and checking us out on X, on YouTube, and on Twitch. There's a lot of places where things are going out into the world, and it's always because of all of you here. I see Thirsty Panda in the chat. I see Captain Sano in the chat. I see Mossberg in the chat coming through, hanging out, and repping. This week has been a pretty chilled out week. I am extremely happy. You see I'm rocking my Bing Bong shirt. You can cop this on the store if you want to cop one for yourself. If you're a Knicks fan, we have those for sale as well. Shout out to Zach in the chat as well. Our shows usually go up on YouTube and on Spotify, so you can check this out over there for the video versions of our show. And yeah, we have a pretty interesting show for this week. I think it has been extremely busy for a lot of folks in terms of the news. We have seen lots of big discussions happen within the space. I am just overjoyed because my Knicks are in the second round of the playoffs. We just finished our second game and won our second game against the Pacers. And there are just so many games out right now. Literally today on Thursday, the 9th of May, we had at least five games drop in the indie space, some goodies and some joints that I'm trying to run through and play as we speak. And it's been just really, really glorious to see, you know, games coming out in a time where the conversation about games being a thing and them being deployed and put out and all those good things in the mix has been squashed by a ton of super negative, not great news. So we're going to talk a lot about that today in the 411 and dig into all of those conversations around there. But please, if you love the show, if you want to check out the show, please do so. Please subscribe to all the channels. All those places are going to be, you know, in the show notes every week. If you checked out last week's episode, please and thank you for that. We had the team from Convey come on and talk about, you know, how AI is changing the game for the video game space as developers and all of that stuff in the mix. So always great to be able to get some good feedback from the teams and from all those folks. Please give us a 5-star review on any of the platforms we're in so we can get more dope folks to be able to come on to the show. We have some really good potential guests coming up very, very soon. I'm just trying to lock those folks in. Zach, I got to get back to you as well. I'll see you in chat so we can get those things together. But while we are talking through it and while we're getting into it, let's get into the news of the week with the 411. First show, the first conversation that we are going to dig into this week is all about a update to a story that we talked about last week, one in which the Helldivers community was up in arms about the PlayStation Network requirement if you were going to play the game on Steam. That has been reversed by Sony. Sony came up and saw the negative reviews that were being put on the Steam page for the game, and Sony decided to go back on that particular move. And they decided to do that with the help of, well, I wouldn't say help. I would say with the pressure that was there from the community to say, one, this is not a thing that we asked for. from the community standpoint, especially on the PC side. And two, there was a real actual problem with the way that this was going to be implemented, because it was literally going to cut off almost 100 plus different countries that don't have access to Sony's PSN network. So you move forward, and it's been a long kind of tail to this conversation where, you know, throughout all of the discussions, you saw a big backlash, and you wind up seeing a lot of conversations that were happening within their Discord, and the way that that kind of came through some of their community managers. They had a couple of community managers who were on the task of, you know, bubbling up good support, you know, getting, you know, community around for a game that was doing extremely well in terms of the way it was talked about and the way that it was discussed and all of those pieces in there. And it was cool to be able to see, you know, this game that was a surprise hit for so many. People had a lot of hype for it and a lot of excitement for it, but it wasn't one that I think, you know, blew up in the way that it did without really kind of like engaging with an audience and really having just like fun, smart gameplay, you know, with the ways they had talked about story, with the ways they rallied community around these very special events and making sure that, you know, players were having a good time and, you know, building out what was and what felt like a really smart combination of how do you bring players in? How do you give them things to do? How do you continue to keep a live service game moving in a way that felt smart and felt really, really, really respected? And then this PSN thing happened, and it wound up eroding so much goodwill in the space that it wound up having one of the community managers speaking out and saying, maybe what you should do is kind of review bomb the game. If you're having the, if this is something that you don't want to see happen in our game, maybe you can, you know, move that along in a way by review bombing it. And they did. They the you know, if you listen to last week's show, you saw that there was a huge dip in support overnight. I think there was over 200,000 negative reviews that went on to it that dipped it into the negative in terms of what Steam reviews were. And now we're seeing through the Reddit forums and Reddit you know, forums that they have, that now we're seeing a reversal of course there, where one of the moderators basically made a plea to the community to say, you use your voice to be able to get this to go into the negative. Let's try to pull this back into a positive space. And now we're seeing the reviews kind of even out on the Steam page for Helldivers. In between that time, one of the other community managers who kind of claimed that and said, you know, this is maybe a tactic you can employ, it sounds like they were fired. They were let go from Arrowhead during this week. And to a certain extent, you know, I think the two-story part of this is twofold. You have one, you have the conversation around what is the job of a community manager. You have the second layer of that, that is like, what's the kind of tipping point for how do you talk to community in a way that is helpful to the overall product? Because you, as a person who is trying to be a community manager in the space, one of your jobs is to not only garner goodwill with the community, but it's also to kind of like figure out good ways to continue to keep that connection between a dev studio and their player base non-toxic, right? You're trying to keep that toxicity out of that space as much as you possibly can. The problem with the way that all of this has come down for me has been, and a piece of the story that has been forgotten and kind of left out of this larger narrative, because now this is being spun into this kind of feel-good moment where the community is rallying around the community managers or the community manager that's left to be like, make sure that they don't lose their job. Like, let's make sure that the game is in a good spot. Make sure that those folks are, you know, reinstate the person who was fired. What is not in that story is what happened before all of this, before the Sony component came into the story, before the Sony backlash, before all of that stuff. There was a huge harassment campaign by Gamergate to dissuade not only Arrowhead and Sony from keeping that person on, which led to some of the ill will and some of the negativity that we saw coming towards this community management team and towards Arrowhead to begin with. Like, we can't just push that out of the equation and forget that that was a major component for some of the negativity that we saw around Arrowhead and around Helldivers that had nothing to do with the PSN layer of it. And the PSN, you know, requirement to you having an account. That wasn't in the equation in the beginning of this story. That was a major part, though, that I can totally see having played into some of the angst and some of the, you know, the pop-offs that we wind up kind of seeing from the community managers on that game during that time. It is amazingly stressful to have hundreds of thousands of people rallied around getting you fired because you wanted to remove bad actors out of the community to keep that community safe. We saw a large harassment campaign come from GamerGators. We saw that rallied around through folks like Mark Kern. We saw a lot of that kind of come up and come to fruition and kind of bubble itself up. And no one has talked about that part. We wind up kind of losing the narrative and kind of burying the lead, trying to make this a feel-good story when, sure, I can fully admit, as a community manager, that is not a tactic that you want to employ. You never want to say, hey, community, add negativity to what we wind up seeing here by review bombing a game that is, you know, in a space where so many studios are not having great rollouts or having a lot of success. You never want to add the potential of having negative connotations around your game or bringing negativity to it. So, like, that was totally a botched moment for that community manager, in my opinion. But all of these folks are human beings, and humans have fault. Humans make mistakes. There's a point where you can do some of this work, and it kind of speaks to some of the things that I was talking about earlier in the week or late last week, where with all of these layoffs, with so many of these conversations that we wind up seeing around the gaming space, one of the things that we have to try to really have a come to Jesus moment around is, like, how are we protecting community managers? How are we protecting the front lines of what we see in the gaming space? Because those are the folks who get the full brunt of the internet. Those are the folks that get every bad comment, every negative, discussion. Those are the folks that have to be in the weeds and trying to figure out not only how to calm down an angry mob, but also how to kind of keep that space safe for the folks who are the non-bad actors in a community. That is extremely hard work. That takes hours upon hours upon hours of trying to strategize about how to make sure that your game is safe, strategize about how do you connect to community in good ways, and hours upon hours of making sure that when you do have these blow up moments where you have bad actors, you have folks like Gamergate come into a space with this resurgence of community managers don't have an actual job. Community managers aren't developers. Community managers don't really contribute to the success of a game, which are all false. Those are all terrible false narratives that don't actually happen in the real ways that game development works. But we've let this narrative continue to roll out, and we don't do the work of supporting those developers, those community managers, those folks who are in the space to be able to do the work that they need to do so that you as a player have a great experience in an ecosystem, in a game space that feels smart and feels, you know, both heard and also, you know, connected to the game that you're really digging and playing at the moment. So it rubs me a little bit weird to see this be a conversation around the you know, good naturedness of the industry or of the community, which I love. I do think that this is a really interesting moment because we don't see this happen that often. We often see people just throw developers under the bus and not do the work of trying to figure out good ways to be helpful in those circumstances. And you don't really get a chance to see a lot of people rally around developers when something negative happens and then there's a potential course correction. But I don't want that nugget to kind of be removed from the overarching narrative that is surrounding Helldivers in that big way. We did see something from the CEO of Arrowhead, who said on Twitter, "Firstly, I am impressed by the willpower of the Helldivers 2 community and your ability to collaborate. Secondly, I want to thank all our parties and friends at PlayStation for quickly and effectively making the decision to leave PSN linking optional. We together want to set a new standard for what a live game is and how developers and community can support each other to create the best game experience." I get it, and I understand it. It just rubs me the wrong way to not have, and I don't know what happened behind the scenes. I will never know, right? I don't know how many discussions were had. I don't know if there was some reprimand that happened before letting that person go. I don't know if there were, you know, discussions about like, and who did that come down from to kind of like, you know, figure out what the repercussions were going to wind up being for that developer and for that community manager. But I don't remember any messages from Arrowhead coming out in support of those community managers when the harassment was happening. And that to me is troublesome because it winds up then saying, again, yes, community is great. You need them to build your, you know, to make your game viable. You know, in a time where live service games are not doing well, you need to do everything you possibly can to make sure that community feels good. And alongside, you know, some bug fixes and all those things that you usually wind up seeing in a game space, it just feels a little whack to be like, you know, we want to have developers, community support each other in this way. There has to be a give and take here. There has to be some consensus on what that means. And there has to be a call to action for players to not be assholes. Like, there has to be a call to action to that. Because a lot of the cause and effect that we wind up seeing here, if you listen to a Gators will say, "Oh, well, this has been a long time coming. None of these things work. All of these things have been bad. Whenever we want to pipe up and talk about the conversation around how we, the consumer, have spent money and have an expectation from the developer or from the studio or from the game to be able to be a certain way and to feel a certain way and to do a certain thing, but we can act up in any possible way that we want without any repercussions, without any smacks on the hands, without any acknowledgement that people are being assholes to the people that we work with." And how unsustainable that is to the greater ecosystem of the video game industry. And how all of those things that wind up leaning into those bigger conversations often get thrown away and get put on the shelf because people have spent money towards a product. And I understand it and I get it. And I've had discussions with multiple teams about that stuff. I've had discussions when I was at a studio to be able to discuss how you do that kind of work, you know, and do it in a way that feels respectful to the player and all of those things. But at some point, you have to be able to call a spade and say, look, the majority of gamers, in my own personal opinion, are totally fine. They're not the super online people who would jump online and tweet at you and send you death threats and send you doxes and do all this kind of stuff. I think 99% of the players are in there. 95% of the players are those players. But that 5% are extremely toxic and extremely dangerous and do a lot of bad things in a community under the auspices of this like, we are an aggrieved group, which is not true. the gaming industry and the gaming community has the closest relationship to the people who build the thing that they like and that they love. And that is a dual, that is a double-sided coin and a double-edged sword. That gives you good ability to talk to the people who are making the thing that you care about, but also gets you way closer to the people in a way where you can have these pop-off moments and feel like you are untouchable and that you have carte blanche to say whatever you want to anybody from any team, and they're just supposed to eat it and just deal with it because you are the consumer. I'm not a person who will say the consumer is always right, because when you have incidents like these, that's what you wind up seeing. You wind up seeing people overstep those boundaries and do terrible things and say terrible things and all of that stuff without any repercussions. And the narrative that like developers are popping off all the time and being mean to people and gaming journalists are being mean to players and all this kind of stuff, all of these things are fake. People pop off because they're human. I totally understand that. I've seen that from the press side. I've seen that from player side. I've seen that rarely from developers, because you know what? Developers just want to make games and they just want you to enjoy them. But this narrative that like, oh, we are aggrieved because of these small one-off incidents that happen, that's bullshit. That's not real. That's a fake narrative that has been attached to a community that has often been felt like they have not had a chance to have been heard. But this is not the way you get heard. Yeah, sure. You want to review bomb the thing? I understand it. That is a place in where your voice can be heard and you can do the work to make that gap smaller. And that is a vote with your wallet moment. I totally understand that. That makes nothing but sense. As a consumer, I understand that. I have left a negative review on a thing where I had bad service, all that stuff. That makes a ton of sense. I have never harassed a person because of bad service or what I have felt like has been bad service. And that's where the gaming industry is extremely different than any other industry that I have known. I can't go up and be like, yo, I can't roll up on Elon Musk and be like, yo, you're a fuckhead and your Teslas don't work. He's not going to care. I can't do that to, you know, the head of Burger King or whoever it may be and expect there to be an answer and expect there to be some, you know, some a recompense from what that's supposed to be. That's not a thing that happens. That doesn't work like that. It's not the way that works. But there is this feeling and this belief that just because you have purchased a thing, you are allowed to be an asshole. You're allowed to be a jerk. We have to figure out a way as an industry to not do that and to not allow that. I don't know how you stop that. Don't ask me for answers because I don't know. But at least what we can do is we can try to figure out ways to hold each other accountable and to make spaces safer for each other. That's the only thing that we can do as industry folks in this place. And that's the thing that you have to do at your studio. That's the thing that has to come from the top. That's the thing that has to come from every level of the external experience that happens when you are putting human beings out on the line. And again, these are jobs that we have chosen. I've been a community manager. You know what the problems are as a community manager going into this work. You know that you are often going to get stepped on. You know that you are going to be the first line of defense who doesn't get a lot of support from potentially their higher ups. But we should be rethinking about that as an industry alongside all the other issues that we discuss and talk about and think about in those bigger and broader ways. It is a time to really put that on the table as a discussion point in a way that we have to figure out services, resources, and ways to make sure that those folks, when you have these uprisings of negativity and nonsense where we can't just ignore it because they are paying customers, but also you don't have to give credence to the narrative, because the narratives are all bullshit. The narratives are all garbage. There's been no narrative that has come out of any of these movements that has been based in any actual reality. It is the time stone from the Infinity Gauntlet, but with crack on it. It has no sense. It makes no sense at all. None of the things that people have been bugging out about has actually had a foundation and a grounding in actual reality. So we have to not play like any of those things are actually real when we say those things out loud. Just because a whole bunch of people are saying anything doesn't make it true. We need to figure out good ways to have those discussions inside the industry and with community, because the other layer of all of this is that as a community manager, you can't catch everything. You just can't. You can do your best to try to calm the waters, and the internet will always win. The internet is full of too many people for you to do that work alone. And most teams have 1 to 2 community managers at max. You don't have a lot of resources to work with to make that work feel good in the ways you want, because teams don't prioritize that stuff. They do it. They have people there, but it's not prioritized in those ways unless you have a big rollout and a massive team, right? So that's not real. So we need to figure out good ways to keep those people safe. And we also need people in the community in the same way that they are rallying against or rallying for these CMs and these community managers to be put back into their positions. We need those same folks to help remove the toxicity out of these spaces. We need the same people who are the ones who were on those Reddit threads 2 weeks ago talking shit and being like, this is a terrible thing and all these people need to be fired and all this XYZ without having any knowledge about the process, to also be the ones on the front lines who are the ones who are defending people who are doing good work and acknowledging that that work has value, because it has value. So much of the stuff that has been around Helldivers 2 has been through and from community development and community understanding of what and how you can build these systems so that players can have fun. The thing that is wild about that is that players will remove that responsibility for themselves because they also just believe the internet does what the internet does, without understanding that When you talk through and you push out those bad actors, you make the space better for every other player that is playing with and around you. That's the main goal. So that everyone can have fun. Because games should be fun. So that's my thoughts about the way that the Helldivers thing is kind of being rebooted, or the conversations around Helldivers in that community and what's moving in that space. Again, as a game that I love and think that that's really smart and have been having a blast playing it, it makes me a little sad to see like this is the way that we are thinking about community management and the ways that we think about the people who are literally the front lines for your studios in those ways. It's nice that all these folks are kind of coming back and rallying around it and try to make it feel good for what the Steam reviews are. But like, we can't just forget that there was a shit ton of harassment towards the same people who they're all trying to get back now. Maybe if you weren't jerks in the first place, those folks would still have jobs. Maybe. Right? Like, maybe if there was some grace given before all of the madness that happened on the PSN stuff happened, maybe those folks would feel and those studios would feel like they were in a good spot to be able to not have to make those decisions on behalf of the players who, to be fair, made up a bunch of stuff besides the PSN stuff. So we're going to take a quick break. We have one more story for this episode. This morning, we're going to talk about all of the madness that's been happening over at Xbox and all the studio closures and all of those things. And I want to talk a little bit about, what I'm thinking from that perspective of like what they can do and where they're at and what does this mean for the future of Xbox moving forward. And we're going to do all that right after this. Hey everybody, Khalif here from the Spawn of Me podcast. Hey, we have been in the market for new PCs for a long time, and for our 10th year anniversary, the wonderful folks from NZXT have partnered with us in a collab to be our hardware sponsors. So if you are looking for a new PC to stream or to game in the best way possible, go check out nzxt.co/spawnofmebld and you'll be able to find a perfect PC for you, whether that be the Player 1 machine, Player 2 machine, or Player 3 machine. The ones that we're rocking for our new studio build, they have everything you possibly could need for the best PC experience on the planet. Remember to go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld and it will get you set up right. Much love and peace.
Hey there. My name is Naomi, and you might know me from internet things like hosting for IGN. I'd like to introduce you to my new show, This Week in Gaming. It's 20 minutes, short and sweet, and every week I go through all the important gaming news that you need to know, and then we have folks on like Khalif Adams, who shows up quite often, talk about all the important news. And you get to listen to it wherever you get your podcast, so it's easy to find. Just look for This Week in Gaming and make sure to give it a follow. And every week, Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific time, you get a brand new episode. I hope you'll join me.
Welcome back to the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. If you missed the first part of our show, we dug into the controversy around Helldivers 2 and what was going on in their community. Whew. This is going to be a interesting conversation in lots of different ways. So over the week, earlier this week, I should say, we got some not great news that Xbox was closing down multiple studios with underneath the Bethesda umbrella. So Arkane Studios, the folks who made Redfall, Alpha Dog Games, the folks who made Mighty Doom, which is a mobile game. And Roundhouse Studios are being absorbed into the Elder Scrolls Online. Those three studios are now gone. They're all out of here. Hi-Fi Rush is also in that mix, coming through from Tango Gameworks, which is the most bizarre addition to the teams that are getting canned from the Xbox position. Especially if you understood the minutia behind all of this. Again, ABK deal, one of the biggest deals in gaming ever in terms of that acquisition, bringing in all of these studios into the mix so that they would be able to have this much larger and kind of grander portfolio in the mix. And now we're seeing, you know, what has come about from all of those acquisitions. Those acquisitions have now kind of not borne a ton of fruit. We're still waiting for a lot of those things to happen. You know, you get Diablo, you get games like Call of Duty, you get all of those things in the mix, but at the detriment and at the loss of four different studios. And one of the studios that literally was one of the most acclaimed games of the last year in Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush won multiple game awards. They won two Spawnies from our show. Reported by Jason Schreier and a lot of other folks, this was a really kind of unforeseen thing from a lot of folks who were internally at those studios, for one, but also from the greater kind of umbrella of studios, hearing some of those conversations go down. So it winds up not only feeling like this was a negative moment, of course, because so many jobs were lost, and that's the main kind of component that really matters, but alongside that, now you have this discussion of, so was the acquisition worth it? Did it make sense to do all of this work to try to get this studio or these studios underneath the Xbox umbrella, who had been, again, if you listen to the conversations that Phil Spencer had had over at Kind of Funny and throughout all these other press appearances, and during the FTC trial, saying, you know, we are in third place, we need all of these assets to kind of give us the ability to kind of maneuver and kind of move ourselves into a good positioning from a game perspective, from a overarching revenue perspective, all of those pieces kind of being combined and pushed together. This winds up being a really peculiar space for Xbox in this way, because it makes it feel like all of those things were for naught. It makes it feel like, you know, if the capitalism layer of it is the only one that matters, what does that mean for the direction for not only for them as a company, but for any studio who is under the umbrella of the Xbox ecosystem right now? If you have a game like Hi-Fi Rush that Bethesda stealth dropped. I don't think that anybody knew that the game was going to be as good as it was, or that it was going to have as much critical acclaim as it did. It was the perfect, you know, happy surprise that you would get as a developer and as a publisher to be able to get this kind of, you know, supposedly lower budget game in the mix to be able to do all of this work for you, to give you not only a critically acclaimed game that won a ton of awards and got a lot of good press and all of that stuff, showcased the work of a studio that was going kind of on the periphery after making Ghostwire Tokyo, which didn't do that well, and to also give that studio a space outside of the games that they were kind of known for, you know, the space of like the Evil Within, which, you know, games that I really, really did like from Tango. While also the biggest kind of layer of that particular part of that scenario that doesn't make any sense is one of the biggest issues around what Xbox was talking about as a platform holder was, we have no footprint in Japan. Since its inception, Xbox has not done well in Japan. And you close one of the more popular and successful studios in a region where you need a win. It makes no sense looking at all of these conversations around what was supposed to happen, how did this go down, any of the minutia of like, what does that mean for the future of any game within the portfolio, any studios in the portfolio. But even bigger to that point, I don't know what success means anymore. I have no clue of what success looks like anymore. And if you were to probably to ask any developer who's in any of those systems, I'm sure they're also worried about that too, right? There's been this conversation about, we need to kind of like lean into some of the kind of more impactful titles. There was a conversation around, you know, what does this mean? Not only for those kind of games, but what does this mean going forward for creativity? Does this mean now that if you're going to kind of just look at high impact games, the ones that we know are going to have big major IP, that's the only stuff that we care about, when you've had a really fantastic game come out that was unforeseen in the ways that we thought it was going to wind up working and got all the love that you could possibly ask for in this way? How do you rectify what that means from a personal, not from personal, from a professional kind of business sense? And the greater conversation around what that means is, you've already had in the past 2 to 3 months a couple of different versions of the community say, we don't know if we have enough trust in the higher ups at Xbox and the platform itself to determine whether we should still put money into the ecosystem. You had a whole bunch of influencers in that space bring up a whole bunch of conversations about, oh, does Xbox now go third party? What's supposed to happen with all my games? And it winds up being this extra layer of stuff that we now see again happen, where the writing is on the wall in not great ways, right? Where it's not saying, I'm not saying that the platform is changing in a way that is going to, you know, go away or any of that stuff. Like, oh, everything's going to go third party, any of that stuff. But if you've already had the kind of online teams of the folks who were your biggest fans, your mega fans, be worried and scared about the prospect of what that means for your title and the future of the platform, what then happens when you now have major parts of your studios go away and the messaging again comes at the worst possible timing? This has been a thing that has happened with Xbox for multiple generations, and it's been really bad this generation. They have gotten around some of it and have figured out good ways to kind of, you know, put fingers in the dam to make sure that the water is not breaking through the dam. But the like, when is a thing happening and then when does bad news come about seems to always be the case. We are 2 weeks out from Hellblade 2, one of the biggest tentpole titles. The game that was supposed to showcase and probably still will showcase why you should have an Xbox. And we've not seen a ton of marketing yet. It's supposed to be coming, right? We're 2 weeks out. They're going to do the hard bum rush for it, which is less important in the grand scheme. But this is, again, one of those moments where you have something that could be a celebratory moment get squashed by all this negativity in here through bad messaging and what now looks like not great management in the ways that things are working. A lot of people have been coming for Phil Spencer's head. I get the reasons why people are saying that. I don't particularly agree because I just don't think it all lays on his feet. Like, I think there are some decisions that were made in that conversation in a real way. I think that the ability to maneuver, and it feels like, and this is honest, it's like this is a thing that I've been kind of looking at and trying to pay attention to. There feels like there was a shift within Microsoft at the beginning of the year, or at least coming out of all of the FTC trials. Like, once the actual studios were acquired, there was a shift. And it feels like there was a shift where they were like, look, we got the big fish. We made sure we locked it down. We staved off the FTC because they were talking about monopolizing the space. And we got around that. It took all this time, took all these lawyers, took all this money to get all this stuff together. Now this thing has to make money now. It has to make money right now. Because, again, I don't think that Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and Aaron Greenberg, all the folks that we kind of see as the Matt Booty, all those people you see out in front who have talked very specifically about how they want to deal with and engage with community and do all that work. I don't think any of that is fake. I think all of that. I've seen those folks press the flesh with people. I've been in rooms with them privately. I've talked to them face to face for multiple years. I consider those folks friends, right? But it doesn't come through that they are the ones that are the full like brunt of all of this has to come down on them. There's a major part of this that I think is in that mix, but there has to be folks above them that are twirling some of those knobs to be like, this is the thing that we need to do. We need to pivot really hard because of Game Pass not selling well and not really growing. What does it mean that we're in third place? We see our competition that's also having some issues. How do we capitalize on that stuff? And this is supposed to be the feather in the cap. This is supposed to be the thing that maneuvered everything into the space where they were going to have the future going forward, looking at their portfolio and all those things in a much better light. But you get all this bad news and you wind up getting all of this stuff where it's now become, the idea was, is it too big to fail? Now it winds up being, it was maybe too big to succeed. And maybe that is where we wind up landing at some of this space, right? You have Matt Booty who talked about in a town hall that he had internally saying, we need smaller games that give us prestige and awards. And you just dumped Tango, which doesn't make sense. There's now been a discussion about Call of Duty not going potentially into Game Pass and potentially also raising the price of Game Pass, which I think would be Game Pass suicide. Like, I think you do that and you just ruin the whole particular thing. And not putting Call of Duty in it makes no sense to me at all. It's the whole reason that you would buy Game Pass. It's the whole, like, oh, I get one of the biggest games on the planet that is an annual game that comes out yearly in my subscription service, and I don't have to pay for that other stuff. That is the actual huge win within that larger, bigger conversation. That is the real reason why you would want to have Bethesda and Activision inside of those services. That's the only, like, that's the reason why, like, day and date and big games. That's the reason why you have three reasons. Day and date, big games, new games you wouldn't have played before. Those are the three pillars of Game Pass for me. Those are the things that I care about for Game Pass in the biggest ways. So the reason why I'm still subscribed to it is because those are the things I care about. I don't want to have to pay for that game. I want to just be able to download it day and date. And I want to try other stuff that I wouldn't have spent money on because it's already in the service. Those are the things that I'm looking for. You know what I mean? Like, those things make a ton of sense to me as the consumer, as the person who's playing these games all the time. Those are the things that actually make the most sense to me and how I want to play for those things. And now hearing that there's some potential, like, we don't know what we want to do with that stuff. Like, how does a fan reconcile that and get excited for that? FanFest is coming up in a month. I don't understand how you even have FanFest right now. I would, like, look, I know people are going to fly in to LA. I'm going to go to FanFest and go do that stuff and go hang out because I think it's a really interesting and fun time. But, like, with all this negative press that's happening right now, I would totally cancel FanFest. I know it would suck for everybody involved, for the people, but, like, give them a month to be able to cancel their flights and their hotels. Because you are going to just open yourself up to nothing but negativity if you are one of the folks who are in that space. Deserved or not deserved. But, like, if I'm the person who's running those layers of it, I am talking to press. Like, we know Phil Spencer will be, you know, talking to IGN at IGN Live with Ryan McCaffrey. That'll be a really smart interview and go really well. He usually does the Giant Bomb Couch, you know, with Jeff Grubb. You know, I think me and, like, me and Paris should go interview Phil Spencer and talk about the real deal of what is happening in those spaces and discuss, like, what's the minutiae of all that stuff. There are parts of that deal that we will just never know. And there's parts of that conversation that we just won't know because that's not the way Xbox has talked to the press in that way. But I don't know how you go into your most kind of trepidatious year with all of these negative stories that have popped up over the past 8 months and looking at what this does not only to the development community, because they don't know what success metrics really look like if you cut a studio that had all of these accolades. People now are like, oh, if Hellblade does well, what does that actually mean for Ninja Theory? Those are not narratives you want as a publisher. You're courting people all the time to say, we are the best place to build games. We are the place that you should come if you want the most visibility, you want the most success, you want resources, you want all of this stuff so that the theory and idea that you had in your head can be shown to the world and you can be a part of our family of games. It makes a hard case for anyone who is new or thinking about what that process looks like to be excited about what does it mean to be on the Xbox platform if those decisions are coming from a level above, or feels like it's coming from a level above, the folks who you would usually tie yourselves to in that way. It just makes that job infinitely harder for Aaron Greenberg or Phil Spencer to, like, go to a studio and be like, we want you on our platform. Or if, you know, Sarah Bond to be like, we want you here to do this stuff because we are the place for you. Like, ID at Xbox does a really good job of that stuff. All those places do a really good job of bringing in indie studios and bringing all this kind of stuff. But, like, how do you court a Japanese developer now? How do you do it? I don't know how you would. How do you court, a not major IP holder to be able to be like, you know, like, I think those are going to be the conversations that we see happening in the next part of this year. You know, we're only in May. We got another 6 months to go, 7 months to go. But you have a couple of milestones that are happening. You have Summer Game Fest. So there's going to be some connection there of like messaging that's going to go out from the team to be able to talk about what's happening there. And I'm sure all the folks who I mentioned are going to discuss it. You've had Sarah Bond talk about the future of Xbox hardware, which is going to come up later in the year. You have the showcase that's going to happen during Summer Games Fest as well. And then you have whatever the small sprinklings of new news that's going to wind up happening throughout the rest of the year. And I just don't know how you, as a platform holder, then continue to change, like continue to use the same messaging while the actions say some of the opposite in comparison to what we've already seen. But like, if I'm a fan and I'm looking at my team and being like, well, damn, we just cut out one of the studios. And mind you, Hi-Fi Rush should have got a sequel. That game did so well and was so well received. That's a game that you instantly think about making a sequel for. And we're hearing that, you know, there was a part of those conversations that are happening, but they still got cut. So I'm worried. I'm usually not worried. I'm usually not a person who's like, man, you know, I have faith in the people who I know. I have faith in the ideas that they share. I have faith in the people who, and I still do. I don't think that I've not lost that. Because I don't look at this stuff in those ways. I'm not like Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond and Matt Booty are terrible human beings. I don't think that. I think they're very decent human beings. Like, Phil has been kind enough to do a whole bunch of stuff with us. You know, he's been on point for a lot of different things. I think he's actually done a lot of really good things for the brand. Sarah also, like, I think she is the heir apparent. I think she makes a ton of sense in that role. But I also don't think that at this point in the way that the Xbox ecosystem is connected to Microsoft, even with everyone talking about how much money they've made and how much money Microsoft makes, I don't know if a changing of the guard fixes any of that. Because everybody's like, fire him. I'm like, and then what? I don't think that changes. I don't think those conversations change. Even if you shift the people around, I don't think that changes. And then I think that's the part for me is like, this is a higher ups moving needles and moving and twisting knobs and being like, capitalism wins. And dev studios have to worry about it, and creativity has to be a problem, and we have to make sure everything makes money. That part is rough. That part is not going to be great for the future of games as a whole. And we've already seen that kind of be a part of the discussions that we've seen move forward. We've seen that happen already. So this is going to be a very interesting year for Xbox. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens during the showcases. It's going to be wildly interesting to see what the conversations are when he's in those interviews. Again, Phil, come on the show, come hang out. We can talk about it. I would love to. But I want to hear from the development community about how this affects them in real day-to-day minutia ways. Like, I want to know what that means for them. Like, because I don't know what that means for them. I don't know what success looks like for them. I don't know how they're going to measure that. I don't know what numbers you have to hit based on your operating budget and based on the budget of your game that you have to surpass to now feel like that is a hit. Like, what, like, how? Like, what is, all of it goes out the window with the way that this went down. And hearing that there were missteps in terms of the ways that they felt like they were going to be able to manage all of these studios, and seeing that at the end of the day, the resources just weren't there, also just raises a whole bunch of questions about, like, was it worth it? And again, if a studio like Bethesda and ABK is up for sale, I don't think you can just leave it out there for someone else to get. I just don't. Like, I think as a company, I just don't think that's the way that works. As a company who's trying to compete, if you have a huge platform that you can take on and add that to your portfolio to kind of bolster that, to me, it still makes sense. The problem is now, how do you fix the mismanagement and how do you fix and sustain a thing that needs to continue to make a shit ton of money to only even scratch the surface of success? I don't know how that works in some real ways. Like, I don't know how that moves. I don't know how that makes sense. I don't know what that means in the grand scheme of, like, how does this all supposed to work? But, like, they're going to have to get their messaging together in the biggest ways now. And the funny thing is, I don't even think it matters of what you tell the community. It really is what you tell to your development teams, and how do you make them feel safe, and how do you make those folks feel like they have room to not have a game of the year kind of game. Because now, if that's the case, and you need, like, game of the year as the minimum bar for success to be viable, then everybody's gonna go. Then nobody is safe. And that, to me, is just really, really troubling to hear how that has kind of happened and gone down. So, you know, $69 billion acquisition comes with consequences, and it winds up being that the humans are the collateral damage all the time. And that sucks. That's not dope. That doesn't feel good to say. Doesn't feel good to understand. And also, as a person who knows some of those folks, like, I know that those decisions are not easy to make. They can't be. Like, if you're a human being who has feelings, that shouldn't be a easy decision to make. So I don't know what happens now. I don't know how you rectify what those pieces mean. And what does the future look like for the platform? Because also Sony's messing up, too. Sony literally just had some issues with Ghost of Tsushima that's supposed to be coming out to PC. And now, because of the PSN requirement there, they're also going to have more problems with the same thing they just went through with Helldivers. So, like, no one is getting it right now. Everyone is botching it in the biggest and worst ways. So I would say, you know, again, I'm a person who is not as cynical as most. I am still having fun on the platforms that I reside on, which is everything. I'm still extremely excited for Hellblade 2 and some of the other games that are coming up that we're going to see at Summer Games Fest. But, like, it makes me really worry as a person who straddles that line of being a person who works at a studio and as a person who does this kind of work. And as a person who really runs a podcast that is very dev-centric, it makes me really worry about what the space is going to be with so many layoffs, so many issues, so many layers of the community. You know, everyone is squished in the middle. Developers in the middle of all of this. You have capitalism on the top, and you have community who wants to act up on the bottom, squishing the development community in the worst ways. And I worry for all of it. So it has not been a great week in terms of all of those pieces. But I hope that the Xbox team can get it together, because they are really going to need to make sure that people are in a good spot moving forward. So I wanted to thank everybody for coming through this week on Spawn On Me. Massive love to everybody who has been checking the show out on X, YouTube, and Twitch. Make sure you go subscribe in all of those wonderful places. Please make sure you hit those buttons. Make sure you're checking out the work that we're doing here on Spawn On Me. Massive love to everyone who has been, sharing good names for our potential show. We teased out the fact that me and Paris have been thinking about doing some collaborative work together and thinking about what that would look like. If you have a name for what you think our show could be, hit us up on Twitter and let us know what it is. We are running through every permutation of cooked, can cook, can't cook, all of that stuff has been in the mix. But we've been talking about what that might potentially look like. As you know, as friends, we've been just digging through it and talking about it and seeing what that may be. So we're going to get up out of here for this week. Massive love to everyone in the chats. Thank you so much for rocking and for listening, for paying attention. This show will go up on Monday. It'll be up at 6 a.m. PST. And we have some fun stuff that's in the background that I can't talk about yet that you will hear about very, very shortly. And it's some of the most exciting stuff that I've been able to be a part of in a long time. So more conversations about what that means moving forward. But have some fun today, man. Like, have some fun. It's going to be beautiful weather in most parts of the world. Play some dope games. Get on your Hades 2 grind. I'm about to do that after the show. If you're a big sports fan, we still got so many dope basketball games coming up. And WNBA is starting. Hockey is in their playoff season. Sports and baseball season is still moving and grooving. We have a lot of good stuff to really enjoy in this life. Please be a person who's taking your time to enjoy the time that you have on this planet. Don't be one of those folks who is just online screaming at people about shit that doesn't matter. Go find stuff that makes you happy. Go be around people who make you happy, and go do some work and have some fun in the spaces that you reside. So much love to you all. I'll see you all soon, and see you all next week for more Spawn on Me with more dopeness coming to you from Chicago. Much love to you all. Peace.